Today in our gospel reading, we hear from our Lord Jesus this parable, often called the parable of the dishonest steward. And this is a parable that sometimes is puzzling to many people in its details. As we hear the whole thing, we might well want to ask, why did the master commend the steward after his actions? Or we might wonder, is Jesus telling us to act like this dishonest steward, and if so, in what way? Now, I think what's going on here is that Jesus is shifting between different ways of applying the same story and different details of it. I'm not going to try to untangle every single way that he twists and turns, but rather to say that in the midst of it all, I think that there is a single basic message that our Lord Jesus wants to give to us. The dishonest steward, his situation is like our own. How is that? Well, in the beginning of the parable, there is the steward, and he's in his situation, his job, his home. There he is. And so we too, here we are in our earthly life, with the places that we live, the things that we do, and the resources that are at our disposal. So we have money and material things. We have our talents and our experiences. We have our relationships, including family and friends. And of course, perhaps above all, we have our time, all the hours of every day. But like the dishonest steward, this current situation is not going to last forever. In the case of the steward, he was told that he was fired, and he was going to be very soon thrown out of the house, out of his job, out of everything that he had known. And for us too, at some point will come the end of this earthly life, at the point when we die, or at the point when our Lord Jesus comes again, whichever comes first. At some point, we too will leave this current situation of our earthly life. And at that moment, like the dishonest steward, when he would have to leave his master's house, we too will have to leave behind all those resources that we had had up till then. All of them will be left behind. As they say, you can't take it with you. No one has a hearse pulling a U-Haul trailer up to the grave. But, like the steward, we haven't left our situation yet. And so the great question is, during the time that we are still in this situation with these resources, can we do something with the resources we have now, which are temporary and about to be left behind? Can we do something with them in order to provide for ourselves eternal resources that will last? We heard how the steward did this for himself within the parable. Can we do it for ourselves? This is the great question posed by the parable. But then Jesus also takes a different tack to come at what's essentially the same thing. Think again about being a steward. A steward is one who has the job of taking care of managing the property of someone else, the owner, the master of the property. The steward is not the owner. The steward is just the manager, which means that such a steward is not seeking to fulfill his own goals in what he does in managing this property. He needs to seek to fulfill the goals of the owner. And so too it is with us. All of these resources that we have right now, temporarily in this life, are not really ours. They're really God's. He is the owner. We are the stewards. And so the great question is, what are his purposes? What purposes does he wish us to fulfill as we take care of the goods that he has entrusted to our stewardship? And what would we need to do in order to convince him that we have taken care of his goods well, so that he may then entrust us with true wealth, with eternal wealth, with resources that will last forever? Thus, we have two different questions. What can we do with our temporary resources to gain eternal resources? And what can we do with the temporary resources that God has entrusted to us to fulfill His goals? And the answer to this is really the same thing. Because to fulfill God's goals for these resources will also provide for us eternal resources for ourselves. Well, what are God's goals? As we heard in the second reading, St. Paul tells us that God wants everyone to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And we know that God wants to transform our minds and hearts so that our hearts may be as loving and as generous as the Sacred Heart of our Lord Jesus. We know also that God wants people's needs to be met, whether these be material needs or spiritual needs. And again, these two things go together. As our hearts are transformed, we will be meeting others' needs. As we meet others' needs, our hearts will be transformed. And so it is. And all will be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. Now we know that all around us, we have examples of people who are not living this way. People who are treating material goods not as means to meet God's ends, but rather as ends themselves. They're like the description that the prophet Amos gave us in the first reading. People who can't wait to turn away from the worship of God to get back to making themselves more rich. People who want to cheat others and use and oppress others in order to make themselves more rich. People who slave away, seeking to achieve happiness, seeking to achieve the great house and the great neighborhood, the great car, the great job with the great salary, the great activities and great vacations, seeking to somehow gain happiness as they serve material possessions as a god. But as Pope Francis has recently reminded us, seeking happiness in material things is a sure way of being unhappy. But if we turn away from that example and turn back to what the Lord asks of us, we see that we may well have material resources that can meet the needs of those around us. And it is for that purpose that He has entrusted these resources to us so that we can care for them well and be able to give them to those who need them. And so too, spiritual needs. There are people around us who need love, who need encouragement, who need mercy, who need to know the truth, who need to grow in goodness. And God has given to each one of the baptized spiritual gifts that, like the material gifts, are given to us to steward so that we may give them on to others to meet their needs. What material needs have we seen in the lives of those around us that we might be able to meet? What spiritual needs have we seen in the lives around us that we might be able to meet? How might we enter into this coming week, looking at all of these gifts that God has placed in our stewardship and considering how we might use them to meet His goals, to meet the needs of those around us, and to have our own hearts transformed? And when we do this, what will then happen? Then we will gain happiness in this life as well as in eternity. Then we'll be using our temporary resources to gain for ourselves eternal friends. Then we'll be meeting the purposes of the Creator, of the owner of these goods who has entrusted them to us. Then we will hear from Him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in small matters. I will give you great responsibilities. Come, enter into your master's joy."